We're going to continue with this series on mind games. And, you know, during the worship, Marcella had said a couple of things that I was like, wait a minute, I could use this in what I'm saying today. And I ran to the back a couple of times to make some notes just to try to help emphasize what I was saying. For instance, she said that in one of the songs, she says that many of us sometimes we rely on our own power and our own strength to try to accomplish things in our mind. And we just, it reminded me of The Little Engine That Could. Does everybody remember that little nursery rhyme back in the day? And it was like this little engine, and he had to get up this big hill, and he didn't think he had enough steam or stamina to do it. And then someone came along, a bigger engine, I believe, and encouraged him. And he said, I think I can, I think I can. He gets over the hill and then down the hill, and like a roller coaster, he takes off. Many times, and I believe that the power of the mind will give us the capability, I think I can, to accomplish many things, okay? The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. If you think defeated, when a challenge comes, you've lost before you've even started, okay? We need to have that positive thinking. But there are going to be circumstances and times where we need to just give it our best, but admit, we can't fight this fight alone. We need someone to help us. We need direction, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about today with when it comes to addiction and the mindset of addiction, where our mind wants to do something, but our sinful nature, and we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul when he talks about this, kind of conflicts it. To give a great example, I mean, I'm not 20 years old no more. When I was 20, I used to go to the gym, I used to go running, I used to do all kinds of things. My mind still writes those checks, but my body can't cash them. Okay? As a result, I've got a lot of injuries. When our body doesn't cash the checks that our mind wants to do, it usually is going to result in something negative because we're in conflict. And the definition of being addicted is physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance and unable to stop taking it without incurring an adverse effect. An addiction can be anything. When we think of an addict, we think of somebody maybe that's homeless or on skid row or you know, maybe raggedy clothes, whatever it may be. But many people that have addictions walk around in three-piece suits, okay? And they go to work every day, and they probably got more money than half the people in this church. But they have some type of addiction, and it's become normal. That dysfunction has become so normal to them sometimes that they don't even realize it. For instance, I mean, I don't drink as much coffee as I used to, but caffeine is a stimulant. And people that drink coffee every day, or sometimes they have 2 or 3 cups a day, I'm going to give you a challenge. Go 72 hours without a cup of coffee. Then 3 days, I want you to call me and tell me how bad your headache was. That's because your body's become dependent on caffeine, and it's going through a cleanse right now. It's going through a withdrawal right now, and one of the adverse effects of it is a headache. But, I mean, caffeine, if that's your addiction, I mean, you know, that's thank God, praise God for that, because that's, you know, we could deal with that. But many addictions that we all talk about come from alcohol, chemical dependencies. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar business, so there's many people, and I've known marriages. I've known someone that their marriage broke up because of an addiction to that. Gambling can be an addiction. Overeating to some people, there's like Overeating Anonymous, and everybody says the same thing. I have this under control until their life becomes unmanageable. How does your life become unmanageable? From personal experience of people that I've known and spoken to over the years, I know people that had family members that lost businesses because of gambling. They basically gambled away their business, okay? Families that were broken because they were divorced, a husband and wife divorced because of somebody that had an addiction to either alcohol or a substance or a chemical dependency. Children, as a result of that dysfunction and broken marriage, have broken relationships with that particular parent. That I've known of children and a parent, whether it be a father or a mother, unfortunately, it's usually the father in the scenarios that I've come across, where they don't even talk, and I encourage them that God is a God of restoration. But it is a sad truth. Prison, as a result of addiction, We steal because we have this craving, which I'm going to talk about with habits and stuff like that and how our body craves, like when we crave that caffeine. And we go out and we steal to satisfy it, and we end up in prison. Or, God forbid, we get hit with a DWI and we have a car accident and somebody dies in that accident. Even if the accident was not your fault, you fail that breathalyzer, you're going to have a very serious situation on your hands as a result of the alcohol. Many people, they just can't deal with life, which we're going to talk about strongholds too, the underlying factors. They just can't deal with life no more. And I know somebody, a good friend of mine that I grew up with, one day took a bottle of pills and went to sleep, and he didn't wake up. Suicide is unfortunately a very serious thing that goes on in this world, and we read about it in the papers every day because there are so many people struggling with things out there, and they don't know how to overcome their situation, okay? And they try to, like we said this morning, to try to deal with these powers on their own, and they need help, okay? Many people, they don't even try to commit suicide, but they just end up overdosing. The wages of sin is death, and it's not always going to be a physical debt. Definitely it will be a spiritual debt, but it could be the debt of a relationship, like a father and a son, a husband and a wife. It could be the debt of blessings that God gave you, maybe going to prison and losing your freedom. It could be so many things that addiction takes us down. They say that an addiction will take you down a road you never thought you would go, and it will take you to places that you never thought you would be to try to satisfy that addiction. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church in chapter 12, verse 2, he said, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Many times we settle for God's permissible will, but God has a perfect will that he wants us to achieve, okay? But we sell ourselves short. God has more faith in us than we have in ourselves sometimes. And the battlefield is in the mind. Like I said, our mind writes checks, sometimes our body can't cash. Our mind may not want to do that addiction or what we're compulsed, that compulsion, but our body don't cash it, and we end up doing something that we wish we didn't do, and an injury or something results as a result of that. So to renew our minds, we need to do things differently. We need to break old habits and create new habits, okay? That's where really an addiction comes from. So we need to know our enemy, because it's a battle. It's a war. We have two enemies, and we always need to be aware of who they are. The first enemy is the devil. He comes along, and he'll put the thought in your mind. There's a proverb that says, how good a glass of wine looks in a glass. And you may think, wow, like, you know, a nice cold glass, a cold beer on a hot day, or whatever the case may be. You could start thinking about things that you used to do if you had a problem with alcoholism. The devil will put that thought in your mind. But then our sinful nature, our flesh, is our second enemy. It takes over and it fans the flame. And then we take it to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And we need to be able, when that thought comes, we need to be able to take that thought captive and set it free and let it go and say, no, that person doesn't exist no more. And we can't take that lightly, because it is a war, like I says. And the battle, it's a struggle, and the struggle is real. It's a struggle that goes on daily for some people, because of strongholds. Freedom Ministry, we don't just talk about substances or things like that. I try to get to the deeper root of the issue. We've talked about fear. We've talked about anxiety. We've talked about depression. We've talked about bitterness and resentments and things that this world has drawn at us. And one thing I say is, we've all learned how to deal with life the way the world taught us to deal with life. And usually it's going to be dysfunctional. We need to transform our minds, as Paul says, to deal with life the way God created us to be, not who the world taught us to be. And that's how we get freedom in Christ. And that's how we get freedom from our vices, because what happens is we have this depression. We have, for instance, I'll draw some things for me out there. My parents divorced when I was 3. And in the 70s, I've said it before, it wasn't common. I was the only kid on the block that didn't have a father living with them. It created insecurities. It created a lot of things. a lot of things about my life that I wasn't content with. So what happens? We find a substance, we find something to try to overcompensate that, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a drug, whether it's some people just, you know, workaholics, whatever the case may be, and we find something and we make a habit of it, and we do it in such an excess that it's really not going to be beneficial to us. So what happens? We start drinking. Poor me, I had this situation. Poor me, I had that situation. Until we're saying, poor me, poor me, pour me another drink. We take an hallucinogenic to go into la-la land because we can't deal with life no more. What happens the next day when we come down? Our problems are still there, so we do it again. The cycle continues, and it continues until before you know it, a habit starts. And that habit, because these are substances and chemical dependencies, they create a dependency on what we're doing, and that becomes our normal way of life to cope with life. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, you need to do things differently. We need to have the renewing of our mind, okay, so we can know God's good, perfect, and pleasing will and be able to get out of this cycle and to break this cycle. In the Gospel of John, Jesus was talking about what it means to be one of his followers, which means we need to follow his teachings. And it says in John 8:31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciple if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will set free? You will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So if the son sets you free, you will be truly free. Some versions say you will be free indeed. Okay? Now, what does that mean? What is Jesus trying to say there? Basically, we were all born with the curse of sin. If you want to know where to find it, it's on page 2 of your Bible. Okay, with the fall of man. We all have a sinful nature, and we all are spiritually dead as a result of that sinful nature. When we do things on our own understanding, it's going to most likely be out of God's will, because when we sin, we do what we do best. We're natural born sinners. But when we accept what Jesus did on the cross, when we're forgiven for our sins, we get a clean slate. We get a new start on life. We are set free. We're forgiven. Basically, figuratively, we are born again. But does this mean we stop sinning? Absolutely not, because we're natural born sinners. So you're not going to become sinless. But the idea is to try to put ourselves in a position where we're going to sin less. And again, to do that, the battle is in the mind, because our mind has a set way of doing things. And we need to break that old way of doing things and allow God to show us a new way of doing things so we can be totally set free. Now, is it possible to be a new creation without Jesus Christ? The answer is no, and I'm going to tell you why. You can go 20 years, 50 years, you can go 100 years without a drink, a drug, a cigarette, whatever it may be. In and by itself, it's abstinence, because we all have that sinful nature. And there's other underlying factors that God wants to set us free from that came from our dysfunctional growing up sometimes, when we all have some kind of dysfunction, that God still want that triggered that vice to begin with, and that God wants to set us free from. So we need, spiritually, yes, we're a new creation. We're set free. But now we got to put the work in. It's called becoming sanctified. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to do its job, to show us what needs to be changed in our life. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. That's his job. We need to let the Holy Spirit do his job so we can become what's called sanctified, so we can become holy in God's eyes, to allow the Holy Spirit to change the way we think, to not do, if we always go left, to maybe try to go right. And even though our body and our sinful nature wants to go left, to win that battle and actually go right and to do it the way God wants us to do it. Jesus went to his hometown in Nazareth. on a Sabbath day. And he went to the synagogue. And when he went in there, he picked up a scroll and he read from Isaiah 61. And we find the story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. And this is coming out of Isaiah 61. It says in verse 18, "The Spirit," Jesus is speaking, "the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." What's the good news? They can be spiritually rich, okay? They could have treasures in heaven. There's something better that they can have outside of this sinful world, okay? He goes on to say, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Those people like in prisons, they may not physically be set free, but they can be set free in their mind, okay? All the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups that set them there, they can be forgiven, they can have a new way of thinking, and they can have a new outlook on life, you know, if they aren't able to have a second chance on life. But they can have that new outlook. They can be set free from the sinful power of the mind that put them in their position to begin with, okay? It says to give recovery of sight to the blind. It's spiritual. Their eyes can be opened to maybe have a new outlook on life, even though maybe they can't physically see, but spiritually their eyes can be opened to know that they have a purpose. And everybody in this building right now, I want to guarantee and assure you and encourage you to know you were created with a purpose. There is no accidents. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of you. And that's where I put Freedom Ministry together, because I want to see people reach their full potential. I was the first client because God had to do things with me and set me free from a lot of the things that I'm talking about. For instance, at the end of it, he talks about oppression, to set the oppressed free. What are we oppressed from? We are oppressed from those strongholds. And strongholds is just that. It's a stronghold on our mind. Depression, worry, anxiety, fear of the unknown, whatever the case may be, these things become strongholds and they take over our actions. And we end up doing things outside of God's will. And Jesus is basically saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to do this. And it goes on to say, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was basically saying, "I'm the anointed one." In Greek, the word is called for anointed one or chosen one is called the Christ. In Hebrew, it's called the Messiah. He's basically saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to be the Messiah. I am your Savior. I am the anointed one. I'm the one that the prophet Isaiah was speaking about. Now, that Spirit of the Lord, he told the apostles, "I will not leave you like orphans. I will send a counselor to help you." That counselor is the Holy Spirit that we've all been sealed with when we accept Jesus Christ, to help us to be set free from all these things. That's why I say, to be a new creation, you need Jesus, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to get us there. And like was said during the worship, okay, the Spirit is on me. The Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we need freedom from our old way of thinking. And that's the way we change those habits, from negative habits to positive habits, to renew our mind, to receive what God's perfect, pleasing will, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. You know, if you're 30 years old when you come to Christ, you're taking a 30-year-old way of living with you. If you were 20 years old, if you were 50 years old, you're bringing old habits with you. Spiritually, you're set free when you wake up the next day after accepting Christ. But in reality, your life is still your life. You're still going to have the same old problems. You're still going to have the same old challenges. The idea is to try to deal with those challenges in a positive way. And that comes from the help of the Holy Spirit to help set us free from this, as I always say, stinking thinking. So in your outlines, it says in number two, I believe I skipped number one. Number one is in your outline, negative thinking. Let me just back it up for you. I'm sorry about that. Negative thoughts with negative solutions will lead to negative results. Okay. And then number two, I apologize. To follow the teachings of Jesus, we need to be set free from our old way of doing things. John 8:32, you will know the truth and you will be, and the truth will set you free. The Apostle Paul speaks very intensely on this topic because we see in Romans chapter 7, in that same letter to the church in Rome, that he was struggling with a sin. Now, we don't know what he was struggling with per se, but I'm going to break it down. He starts off the chapter by speaking about the law, the Ten Commandments, why the law is good. You know, if there's no law saying that we can't run a red light, we're all going to run the red lights. But now that we know that there's a law that says we can't run the red light, we become accountable. And what he says is, now that I know that there's things that I cannot do in my sin, you know, in my nature, I find myself thinking about it even more. Like he spoke about coveting. He finds himself thinking about coveting. And I thought about this, and it's like, if you have a child and he's or a teenager or, you know, whatever, playing in his room and they're on video games or with their toys, whatever the case may be, and they're just content. And then you tell them, listen, I got company coming over. Just do me a favor, stay in your room. There's going to be all adults outside. The very next minute, that child's going to want to leave his room and go out to the living room. Only because you told him not to do it. He was totally content until you said not to do it. And a lot of times in our mind, once we know we can't do something, we want to do it all the more, right? And that's what Paul's saying in Romans 7. He knows there's things he shouldn't be doing, but he finds himself struggling with something that he can't kick the habit, okay? It says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, excuse me, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sinful nature living in me. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, but it's my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but instead I do the evil that I don't want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. So I find that this law at work is at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner to the law of sin within me. In the beginning, in verse 14, it says that he is sold as a slave to sin. Remember, Jesus said that in chapter 8, whoever sins is a slave to sin. Paul is basically affirming what Jesus just said. He's saying, I'm a slave to sin. He also says that he's a prisoner to the law of sin working in him. Slaves and prisoners are powerless over their situation. The master or the warden basically tells them what to do and when to do it. And when we have an addiction, our addiction tells us what to do and when to do it, okay? Our addictions will enslave us and they will imprison us. So getting over the situation, we need to do what's called the first step, okay? The first step in overcoming an addiction is to admit that we are powerless to our sin. Well, I'm going to use Paul's word. You can fill in the blank too if you have a vice, but to our sinful nature, because all our vices ultimately come from our sinful nature. So for a blanket statement, let's go with what Paul says. We're powerless to our sinful nature. The Apostle Paul just did the first step of the 12 steps of being an overcomer. He admitted that he was powerless to his sinful nature because he's a prisoner to his sinful nature. Okay, verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Paul admits that he's a wretched man and that his sinful nature, his sinful body is subject to death, and he needs somebody to rescue him. He needs a power of someone stronger than him to come and to take over and help him. Like I says, sometimes we try to do it on our own, but we just can't do it. We need help. And there's no shame in that, okay? So he says that this, he's wretched. And the second step to being an overcomer is to believe that a power or a stronger, higher power can restore us to sanity. Remember, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is insanity. So we need a stronger, higher power to restore us to sanity, okay? Paul just did the second step, that in believing that someone stronger than him can restore him from this body of death. Now, who does he call on to be his higher power? Does he look at a chair? Does he look at something in his living room? Does he go to a friend and say, listen, you're my higher power? It says in verse 25 of Romans 7, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. True freedom comes from Jesus Christ. He is the power. He's been anointed to set the captives free. He has been anointed to set the oppressed free. He's been anointed to set us free from whatever vice that we are going through. He is the higher power that we need. He is the one that the Apostle Paul is calling on to give him the strength to overcome this struggle he has with sin. The third step of the 12 steps is to turn our will over to God. Now, God, as we understand him, to God, okay? The Apostle Paul did the third step to becoming an overcomer when he turned his will over to Jesus Christ for his deliverance. These 12 steps, and we apply them, and I show how to apply them in Freedom Ministry, were divinely inspired. If you read the roots of AA and how it came to be, they came from a spiritual revelation. I personally never went to an AA meeting or an NA meeting, but I worked all the steps without even knowing it, just by trying, when I first gave my life to Christ, by applying godly principles to my life. I ended up working the steps without even knowing it. It goes on to say at the end of verse 25, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to the law of sin. We're always going to be a slave to the law of sin because we're natural born sinners. But we need to have that renewing of the mind. We need Jesus Christ as our higher power to strengthen us. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, to say, John, you used to go left. Do me a favor, please. Go right. I got something better for you. I got a better plan for you. My good, perfect, and pleasing will is to the right. Stop settling for second best. And that's what I want to encourage everybody, that Jesus Christ can set us free from not just vices, but from depression. We have all these things that are going on, which I'm going to touch on also in a minute. We need to break these old habits and to create new habits. Now, how do we create a new habit? AA and NA teach us to make 90 meetings in 90 days. The reasoning is that they say that it takes 90 days to break a habit, 90 days to form a habit. So in 90 days of going to a meeting, you're going to create a habit of going to meetings, to be in a positive place, okay? The third question in your outline, when we realize our life is unmanageable and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are doing the first three steps to becoming a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. And spiritually, that happens in an instant. In the physical, it's a challenge, it's a war, it's a battle, and it's work. But the good news is, God sent us the Holy Spirit so we can have help. And we can overcome, and we can get victory. And our addictions, whatever they may be, don't have to have the upper hand on us. And I promise you, as you start winning battles, whatever the vice may be, whatever it is you're doing that you think that maybe God doesn't really want you to do, even if it's not a vice, if it's a bad habit, it'll get easier. As you start getting little victories, the victories will come easier and easier. So AA tells us about 90 days. I used to know about a Christian ministry that was for overcomers when I first got saved. It was out in Queens. And they required three commitments to be part of the program. And they were basically simple. One of them was you had to go to church on Sunday. If not their church, to any, you know, Christian church. The second commitment was to physically make the meeting. Third commitment was to get involved in something in your church, whether it would be a small group, whether it would be a Bible study, whatever the case may be, but to get involved in something. And the reasoning is, you are now, by doing that, you're replacing your one habit that you need to, let's say, be delivered from with three positive new habits that are going to put you in a position three different days a week to be in a positive place, to learn about the Word of God, who your higher power really is, so you can actually build that relationship with Jesus Christ, which is what he wants with us. So they wanted these three commitments that had to be made weekly. Now, in this church, Pastor Paul just read a list of things that we have going on, from the spiritual depression, from freedom ministry. We have women's ministries. We have men's ministries. We have small groups. We have a ton of things, not because we all don't have nothing to do on these particular nights of the week. We have them because we want to see people get delivered and set free. You've made a commitment by coming here today. If you have a vice, ask God to help you with your vice. Get an accountability partner, which could be like a sponsor, someone to help you and to pray with you and to encourage you. Make Freedom Ministry. There's 12-step Christian meetings I can refer you to if you need something to that effect. Make them. So there's your second commitment, okay? You have, and the third commitment is to church on Sunday, the Overcomers meeting, and getting involved in the actual small group, getting involved in these things. So you got church, you got going to a meeting, and you got these ministries that we offer you. They're here to help you to build your relationship with Jesus, to become the person that God created you to be, and not the person the world taught you to be. And that's how we do, as the Apostle Paul said, renew our minds to be able to receive God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. Like I said, addictions will take us down roads we never thought we would go. They will take us to places that we never thought we would be. And we would do things that we never thought, you know, like I said, many people do drastic things because of that habit and that craving to just satisfy that habit. And things that many people are ashamed of. But the great news is, we're all wretched, as the Apostle Paul called himself. We all done things that we are ashamed of, but we can have a second chance in Jesus Christ, not only spiritually, but in our minds we can be renewed, and we can have, the Bible says that he will restore every thing that the locusts have eaten, every blessing that we've lost or squandered, whatever the case may be, God can restore it for those who love him. No mind, no ear can see, it says, or conceive the blessings that God has for those who love him. So to close, I just want to give you some steps to take to receive the victory, to be able to renew your mind, to be set free from your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups, the fears, the anxieties, and all these things that are strongholds that we're using a chemical dependency to overcome. Jesus Christ, we all have, people that are addicted have an addictive personality. Jesus Christ wants to be our addiction. He wants to be the person that we go to and to help cope with the situations that we deal with. It's transferring a negative habit to a positive habit. In order to do that, seek God with the same intensity that you chased your addiction. If you got up in a 4-degree day, 3 feet of snow, and walked 2 miles barefoot to feed your addiction, then you could do the same thing to make it to a small group, to get in touch with the person who died for you and that has given you a new life and that loves you so much that he has a plan and a purpose, and I can't emphasize that enough. Everyone in this room, God saved for a purpose, and he has a plan, and you have a spiritual gift that God wants to use you for. And it's up to us to put ourselves in that position to receive by doing what the Holy Spirit directs us to do, to have that new mind and to get God's perfect will. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make these three commitments that I talked about, drawing closer to God, small groups, church, getting involved in the many ministries that we have. Plug yourself in. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And the more we're around godly people, the less we're going to be around the people that we don't need to be around, that are going to just tear us down. Misery loves company. Stop being in the company of misery and start receiving what God's purpose and plan is for your life. Read the Bible, even if you don't understand everything. Absorb what you can. Go to your small group with your questions, whatever the case may be, and learn about who Jesus is and his character and his persona and how much he loves us and how he changes us. And the Holy Spirit, as you do that, will speak to our hearts and guide us and direct us in the path we need to be. Attend church, like I said, functions. I can't emphasize that enough. So with that, I just want to share, as I close, I want to just drive this point home. In all seriousness, I can speak for myself that I lived on one end of the track, and then I realized my life is going nowhere, and I says, God, if you got something better for me, you need to really get me, because I just I love the lifestyle. I don't know nothing else. I don't know how to live anywhere else. And God just reached down, and he grabbed me, and he put me in a position in a rock and a hard place where I hit a rock bottom, and I realized my life is unmanageable. My life is powerless, and I needed to surrender over to God, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I allowed him to take over. Those are the first three steps. Anybody that admits those things, you're 25% of the way to reaching or being an overcomer. With that, I'd like to call the worship team back up. And if anybody is struggling with anything and you need to talk about recovery, maybe going to a meeting, what Freedom Ministry or the depression ministry that we have is about, spiritual depression, that you think it may help you to overcome the underlying factors that are causing you to do these vices, I want you to come see me after the service, okay? And I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to answer any question that you have. If anybody wants to know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and what that's all about, I also want you to come see me after the service, and I will talk to you and I will explain to you about what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to close in prayer real quick. Father God, I just thank you for this message, and I just pray that each and every person here will just be in tune to your Holy Spirit and allow your Holy Spirit to just take over in their life so that they can be set free from whatever it is, whether it's just a way of thinking or if it's a vice in itself, that they will just be set free so that they can receive the blessings, the good and perfect and pleasing will that you want for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.